I thought it was because maybe I had a little too much liquid courage before I wrote it. Certainly this is the alcohol that is making me feel this way.
Hey y'all, it's LJ here, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. We are so glad you're here for another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Now, here's your host, Allie.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. It's another ranking episode today. We are ranking together again, and this time something I am super passionate and super excited about. Y'all, when it comes to Disney, I think people just don't think that Disney brings the thrills, and that could not be more incorrect. Disney is full of thrills, and they're done in such a unique and incredible way. We're ranking thrill rides. I'm here with Carla and Katie. We are so happy. We're all smiling so big. Do y'all like thrill rides? Is this your thing?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So I would say that obviously I'm usually talking on the podcast from the perspective of someone who's going with little ones, but anytime I get to just talk about thrill rides, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I'm that person that I want to ride every intense ride.
Including Carousel of Progress?
Yes. So thrilling. Absolutely.
The biggest thrill of them all. I love thrill rides as well. I'm pretty short still. And when I was little, I was extremely short for my age always. And I was the kid that was crying at the entrance of every attraction at my home amusement park and at Disney World because I was just never tall enough. And I would just see these attractions and these rides, and I was always so desperate to ride them. And they all stood up. You know, when I finally was tall enough to ride the thrills.
Last year, right?
Yeah, last year I had this great experience and I finally hit the marker. And it was so amazing. I like big hills. I like going upside down. I like going fast. I don't, for the most part, I'll just preface, I do not get too sick on anything. Some things we'll talk about later, you know, that might be an exception. What's your favorite type of thrill? Like what are you looking for in an attraction like this?
I would say like fully immersive. I love a thrill that has the music element. I think that elevates it significantly in my mind. And I love singing and screaming at the top of my lungs. If you've ever ridden coasters with me, we'll get to it later on in the episode. But you know, like I for sure, my goal is to not have a voice the next day. I love it.
And you usually accomplish it.
I do.
I have ridden coasters beside Carla before, and it's always a hilarious experience. If you ever have the pleasure of riding a coaster beside Carla Stewart, you are in for a treat.
My sister and I, we took my daughter and her bestie over to Hollywood Studios for the day a couple weeks ago, and they're old enough now where they can kind of navigate the park on their own. And my sister and I snuck over to Epcot and we rode Guardians. We got our individual lightning lane and we rode it. And in front of us was this chick that was like literally in tears because she had no idea what was about to happen. She didn't like coasters, anxiety through the roof type thing. And you know, I'm just using my usual self and I scream the whole way through the whole time. My sister is like tapping me on the leg, like, you got to stop. You got to stop. And I'm just going crazy.
Do not stop. Yeah, absolutely. Do not stop.
Stopping me.
There is nothing more fun than just feeling so free on one of these thrills and letting yourself completely go. That's exactly what I love about it as well. And I think a couple weeks back ranked non-height requirement rides. And at Disney, those are obviously a necessity. Go back and check out that episode if you didn't catch it because it was super fun. However, I talked on that episode about how it was a little difficult for me to give numbers because it's not exactly what I love about rides. You know, what I love about rides are truly what all of the ones we're going to talk about today have. And so this was really fun to assign rankings to.
Yeah, I'm excited to dig into this one. I wanted to say too, to sort of speak to Carla's point, like of the fully immersive kind of thrill, a coaster with music is always going to be better than a coaster without music. It doesn't matter where I am, what setting it is. If it has music, like it gives me that energy. Like, I'm like, yeah, let's do this thing. Like, it's fantastic.
I agree. You know what else Disney does really well is the pre-show, the cues, the storytelling behind the ride that you're getting ready to get on.
Yeah.
And I think that, and we'll get into that again later in the episode, but that's probably my biggest issue with one of the newest rides at Disney is that it kind of lacks that. But the rides that have it, you're really like pumping yourself up for what you're getting ready to go on. Whether or not you watch Star Wars, whether or not you watch Guardians, like you're getting a sense of being part of something really cool.
Yeah. The full immersion is so Disney. That's absolutely part of it. We're going to get into that part of the conversation. We've done a lot of these ranking episodes and I can kind of be like a tough critic. I know a lot of my scores go pretty low. Across the board on this particular one, I have higher rankings, higher numbers just on average because I really love a lot of these things we're going to talk about.
I think one of our issues that some of our listeners had with our fantasy drafts were that we were like trying to sell rides that or sell things that like shouldn't be sold. Like we're trying to like really talk them up. I think we're like giving it to you really straight here with our ranking numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, these are all attractions. Everything we're going to talk about today are what Disney considers to be a thrill. This is straight up. Disney acknowledges that these are the Disney thrill attractions. That is how we chose the attractions we are ranking today, excluding water parks, because they do have some thrilling things at water parks. But across the four theme parks that we discuss mostly on this show at Walt Disney World, these are the Disney thrills. They all have high requirements, which we will talk about. And you, of course, are going to want to stay tuned until the very end because you want to hear what's going to be crowned number one, even though I have a feeling I know what it's going to be. And I actually am really excited to find out what the last one is, what gets last place here, because I think it's between a couple and I'm excited to find out what's down there. Are y'all ready to rank?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think you might be interested by some of my takes on these. So go ahead.
Interested or angry? Like, are you about to sabotage something?
I'm not about to sabotage anything. I'm about to give it to you extra straight.
Doubt it.
All right. Before we jump in and rank, if you haven't already stopped what you're doing, like, subscribe, get this podcast delivered straight to you whenever our new content drops. Every Tuesday, we love to be there for you. So make sure that you don't miss out. Just quickly like and subscribe. Helps us, helps you. All right. Here we go. We're going to go by park to make it pretty easy to follow. And then when our rankings are in order later, they will not obviously be by park anymore. It'll just be every thrill the way they land based on how we rank them today. If this is your first time tuning in for one of our ranking episodes, well, go back and listen to the rest when you're finished with this one. But for now, the way we do this is we rank things on a scale of 1 to 100. We kind of look at it as if you were going to give something a 1 to 10, you know, and you thought it was maybe a 7, you'd maybe look in that 70 range, and giving it the up and down motion kind of gives it a wider scale for us to give a more accurate ranking on how we feel. So that's how we're going to be doing this today. We have a big 1 to 100 scale. We like to use the spread, and we're going to start with Magic Kingdom, which I think it's a misconception that Magic Kingdom doesn't have any thrills. It has a good number, you know, it has a few things in the park that are for bigger kids that are exciting. And of course, the first one is going to be one of the mountains. We have Big Thunder Mountain Railway. There were three mountains within Magic Kingdom. Now we're down to two, Big Thunder being one of them. Found back in Frontierland. It's a runaway train. It's a high-speed coaster. It goes through theming. It is an older attraction at the park. You know, most Disneys around the world have their version of Thunder Mountain. So it does have that iconic and classic going for it, which I think is really important. But it's in Frontierland. So it's not leaning into any sort of technology for a pre-show. It's not leaning into any videos or screens like, you know, some of the newer attractions are. The queue is very frontier. You know, you're kind of feel like you're back in time in the Wild West. But it is fully immersive. You know, you do feel like you're in an old mine, right? Like that's kind of the vibe it's going for.
Yeah, I really like Big Thunder Mountain. And I My kids like to ride it with me. And to speak to the theming, it's kind of hilarious Wild West, I guess I would say. You can see the ride from the train. And if we're taking the train, my kids will be like, look, there's the goats from Big Thunder Mountain. So they like to count the goats and things like that whenever we're on the coaster or, you know, whenever you're going up the hill and you're in that sort of cavern where you have like the drippy water and everything over on the side. They really love all that. So I think it's a neat attraction. And I kind of like the Gold Prospector.
Gold Rush. Like gold. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of like that vibe that it's going for there.
Okay, great. So it's Big Thunder Mountain is a 40-inch height requirement. That's pretty small. You know, all of my kids, my twins are pretty little and they can ride this. And so I think you get little kids on there and it makes it feel like a really big thrill. Hear me out. You all have done this with me. I learned this from some other Smart Moms travel agent friends of ours. Ride Big Thunder Mountain with your eyes closed and your arms up. And it is a wild thrill.
It's even wilder than the wildest ride.
Yeah, it's really fun. And my kids even do it now. Like we have hands up, eyes closed. That's what my oldest daughter's like, hands up, eyes closed. And, you know, you're running into each other and flying back and forth. It's really great. And because little kids can get on it and it feels like such a big attraction, and because you can add that layer of thrill, has pretty consistent theming, not only for the attraction, but for Frontierland itself, without leaning into like technology to make it happen, which I think is great. Plus it's old and nostalgic. I give it a solid 84.
It's very close to my score. I give it an 83, and it's also leaning into that nostalgia, but it's compared to the other mountain that we're going to talk about soon. I like it significantly more. You know what I like about it? I like that I can get in the cart and not feel like the biggest girl in the world getting into the smallest car, like when you get onto the cart at Space Mountain or in the race cars. But I think that you enlightened us and opened up this whole new realm of riding it when you put your arms up and your eyes closed. And now I won't ride it any other way.
Yeah.
The only thing you miss doing that is the great view of the castle as you're going up.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a first time rider,
I don't do the eyes closed thing because, I mean,
you're counting goats.
If we're going to rate an attraction based on its thrill, it can't be, oh, you have to ride with your eyes closed. Come on now.
I didn't say you had to. I said you could level it up.
But it makes it more thrilling. I ride Carousel of Progress with my eyes closed.
Oh, I've been there for that one.
If you are a first-time rider, I don't recommend riding with your eyes shut just because you will miss the props and you go through like different areas of the land and you should see the experience for sure and you should see the castle. Absolutely. But ride it a second time and close your eyes.
Katie, what's your score? We got to move on.
Yeah, I'm going to give my score of 75 because I think it's a good coaster, but not quite in the 8 range for me.
All right. Then you start us off, Katie, with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train staying in Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
From one train to the next.
All right. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is an attraction that has a 38-inch height requirement. So even my 2-year-old can ride with us. I remember the day that she was tall enough to ride with us. And I was like, I can't believe this day has come finally. Like, we're not rider switching on this one. But what I love most, and I'll be honest with you, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is one of my favorite coasters, even though I'm a throw junkie, and this is a coaster that my 2-year-old can ride. I love that it's very versatile. It does have a thrill element, but it also has that dark ride element. And that is probably the coolest part of the ride. You're going to go through the diamond mine. You're going to see all the diamonds shining. They're singing their song. We always sing the song whenever we're in that section, my whole family. And if you don't get Memory Maker on your vacation, you are missing out because I have saved every single video from my family riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and every one is hilarious. So I love it. I'm going to give Seven Dwarfs Mine Train an 87.
Wow, that's pretty high. Are you that high, Carla?
I'm at an 85. I think it's better than Thunder Mountain. I love the queue. I love the theming, obviously. I am lacking that little bit like longer. I want it to go on and it does it. It's, to me, it's a very quick coaster and it goes by super fast. And that's my only issue with it.
That's exactly why I actually put it a little bit below Thunder Mountain, because Thunder Mountain is such a long coaster. It goes on for a really long time and you only have to be 2 inches taller to ride Big Thunder. And so you're hitting a lot of the same age kids. And so I just think Big Thunder is a bit more of a thrill. And for that reason, and for it being longer, even though Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, the buckets move, you know, the mining cars move back and forth as you're going, which is really, really fun for especially little kids. And the hills are just big enough. You know, they're not huge. They are bigger on Thunder Mountain, bigger thrill for me. So Seven Dwarfs landed at an 80 even for me. So same range there, just a little lower.
Okay. I feel like that's respectable.
Yeah. It's such a popular attraction too. Like, it's one you're definitely going to want to get individual lightning lane for. And we're kind of waiting to see once Tiana's Bayou Adventure opens, like, is Seven Dwarves still going to be an individual lightning lane? Are they really going to have three at Magic Kingdom?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I have to say, so my kids, like, their rite of passage for whenever they're brave enough to do a ride, and my kids are all pretty good sports. They'll ride most everything, even my shy rider, Bella. But we were on Seven Dwarves Mine Train last week, and Tally put her hands up for the first time for it. And like, that's the rite of passage in our family, that you were brave enough to put your hands up on the coaster. And it was such a cool moment for us. Like, I know we've talked in a prior episode about Carla taking Tally on the Barnstormer, and she looked like she was going to poop her pants.
Yeah, that was the biggest thrill to her that day.
Yes, yes. Well, this was like truly a milestone then for Tally, being able to put her hands up on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah, my kids are all hands up kids as well, which all these attractions even more fun. And my oldest can ride every single thing on this list. And we're about to actually find out as we're recording this episode if my little ones on an upcoming trip are going to be tall enough for everything. So fingers crossed. Well, they won't be tall enough for everything, but for more. Okay, so that's going to bring us straight to Space Mountain, the second mountain in Magic Kingdom, old and nostalgic as well. Different than it's, you know, we've talked about how it differs than the one in Disneyland, which is the original. We are specifically talking, of course, Magic Kingdom Space Mountain. It's a 44-inch height requirement, which is really tall. It's 4 whole inches taller than Big Thunder Mountain. Mm-hmm. And that's surprising to me. I think potentially because kids have to sit alone.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe a fear factor because it's in the dark. But I've always thought that 44 inches for that, I mean, that's even taller than some of the other ones we're going to discuss here. I just think it's shocking, really. Mm-hmm. It is a big thrill. It is really fun and fast. It is my favorite mountain. I love Space Mountain. If you're a listener of the show, you know that it's the only chiropractor I need. I love it. I don't care that it throws you around. I like being in the dark. I like having my hands up and just feeling that sense of, oh, I need to duck. I need to duck, even though knowing I don't need to duck. It's especially thrilling at Halloween when the lights are completely out. You know, normally you can ride it, you can see a little bit. At Halloween, it is so dark. I think it's amazing. It's fast. It has a speed launch, which a couple of attractions we're going to talk about do, but you know, you kind of go up and then boom, you're out the gate. I think it's a pretty long ride. I think it's really fun. And it gets an 88 from me.
An 88. Okay.
I love Space Mountain. Don't even come for
Space Mountain. That was generous. Are you going to go, Katie?
All right. I'll rate Space Mountain. So I do love the holiday overlays of Space Mountain, and I am so psyched to ride Space Mountain for Halloween or for Christmas too. They're both fantastic. If it's a regular day in Magic Kingdom, I'll be honest, I'm kind of avoiding Space Mountain. The ride itself is really like herky jerky. And so I think I've been in Magic Kingdom with Carla before and said, I don't know, I feel like my uterus might fall out after having three kids. I don't think we can go on that one.
Yeah, let me put back in.
So I'm actually, because I love it for the holidays, but not necessarily all the time, I'm going to give it a 65.
Too low. Too low. You want a thrill. Put your baby.
Oh my gosh. Allie Thomas, are you criticizing me for using the whole scale this time?
Put your baby alone. in the dark in front of you and be like, hold on.
Put your paper on and write it, Katie. Katie's pretty tall. Stacy's pretty tall. I'm pretty average size. I have a difficult time getting in these stinking little cars. I feel like I'm in a sardine can. It's jerky. I do love the smell. I can't even describe the smell because it's not like, I don't think you can find a candle that smells like Space Mountain. I love the dark. I love the weird little sounds. They're like little space zoomy sounds. If this had music to it, I would probably really love it. I hate the part where you are starting and the lights are like pushing onto you. I
love that.
At that point, I have to like start taking deep breaths so that I don't like pass out. And of course, I'm screaming the whole way through. It's long and it's great. I love that it's long, but I don't like the seating configuration. I don't like sitting by myself. I don't like the size of it. I'm going to give it a 78.
That's not terrible.
That's not terrible. I like Thunder Mountain more.
I am an absolute diehard. Space is my favorite mountain. I just really love it. And those lights that you don't like, I feel like that's the equivalent for like Space Mountain's pre-show. That's what's amping you up. You know what I mean? You're like, here we go, here we go.
Allie, as someone who's more on the petite side, do you feel like whenever you're exiting Space Mountain, you have to do like a tuck and roll to get out of there?
No, I just pop right up.
Oh, I'm well, like, good for you.
No, we do. We're tucking and rolling. It's like when you're at a water park and you have to get out of the tube and you just like throw yourself over.
No. Yeah, you're like, everyone abandon ship. Oh,
love it. I love it. You are pretty low though. Like, I don't want to set people up for the wrong impression. Like, you're going to get jerked all around and you are going to probably stumble out, but it's going to be so worth it. And you don't have to shut your eyes to make it more thrilling. It's dark anyway. All right. Carla, close out Magic Kingdom Thrills here with Tron.
All right. We have our newest ride, Tron, and you have to be height 48 inches. And it is definitely a thrill. Right now, it is on virtual queue and individual lightning lane. You cannot stand in line with this. I will say that loud for the people in the back because I was literally just there and people were being turned away because they're walking up to this amazing ride, right? And they're being turned away because they didn't have a reservation for it. It is still like, it kind of like Guardians, where if you have that virtual queue, you can still be in line for an hour. So don't think it's going to be like a super thing. The queue to me is lacking. So most of the queue is outside. There is kind of a really, I'm not going to say a really cool part. It's a cool part where it surprises you. I'm not going to give any spoiler alerts, but minimal storytelling though. I have not grown up with Tron. I know nothing about it and I still know nothing about it. I think I know that I'm on Team Blue, but that's all you get. I do love the part where you can go into the locker. You have to put all of your stuff. This is like the only ride on Disney property where you have to dump your stuff ahead of time. And they make it super easy, super convenient. You get in a bicycle. What do they call these things?
A light cycle.
Light cycle. Light cycle. And we've talked about this before. Not everybody can fit in the light cycle. And that kind of stinks. And that's, you know, one of my big issues with it. But it is definitely, it is the fastest launch at Disney, correct?
Yeah, it is.
The launch is great. The hype is great. The ride, though, it's just not quite there for me.
So you gave it a what? Let's hear your score.
I gave it a 91. So I put it in the 90s. What is that face for? I could see Allie's face and she's looking at me like I'm crazy. No, it should be in the 90s. It is.
Well, let me tell you where I put it. Because I get very heated about Tron. First of all, Carla, you and I did a Tron review episode the week Tron opened. We both had previews and we rode it early. And my absolute takeaway the first time I ever rode Tron was disappointment. And I've had a hard time ever getting past it. The queue is disappointing. I still, like you said, I think I'm on Team Blue. I could not tell you what the point of the ride is. And it makes me kind of angry. You know, I especially when I look at Thunder Mountain and we're saying it's old, it has history, and you know, it doesn't have technology that's gearing you up for the story. Tron took years to build.
Yeah.
This is not the 80s Disney, you know, this is technology that was, this is the blueprint they had from another Disney park. My favorite part of Tron is the t-shirt I wore to the media event. Like, I got this really cute shirt that I love. The life cycle is really fun. If you fit, you know, like Carla just touched on, that makes me so angry. How in 2024, that's a thing. I can't even believe that it's not inclusive. It makes me so angry. The ride, the launch is fast, but maybe too fast because then the ride is over.
Burn.
The height requirement is 48 inches, tied for the highest. So you have to be very tall and of a certain size to even enjoy this coaster. So again, I'm glad Magic Kingdom has it. And I do know people in my friends and family group that just think Tron is the best ride on property. But for all the reasons I said, it makes me angry. It's not my favorite. I don't even understand the game. I gave it a 53.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm more inclined to agree with Allie on this one for all the reasons that Allie said. Listen, I am a thrill junkie, and that moment that you get that super fast launch and I feel like I might poop my own pants, like, yeah, that's a great, great thrill coaster, right? But for me, the biggest factor that makes it disappointing for me is how short the coaster is, right? Like, that coaster ride needs to be at least another minute for me to feel like I got my money's worth out of it, right? And so that's why I don't super love Tron. I don't want to score it super low, but at the same time, like, the storytelling element, like, Tron hasn't been relevant in our culture for a long time. And even whenever it was relevant, did people really celebrate it? Like, I don't think they ever did. Maybe if Tron was actually like a different theme, if it was a motorcycle theme coaster, maybe I would appreciate it more. I don't know. It doesn't change the fact that it's still a really short coaster and not super inclusive for everybody of every size. So for that reason, I'm going to give it a 68.
The coaster makes me angry. It is that launch.
Hey, it has grown on me. And the more I do ride it, the more I appreciate it. And it doesn't seem as short as it did the first time.
Also, pro tip, if you're a thrill junkie, that launch is so amazing. You can try to sit up on your bike. It's not like the easiest thing to do, but if you're on your light cycle and you sit up and put your hands up, it's like absolutely out of your mind thrilling.
It is great. Launch.
It really is amazing, especially that way. So like, that's just a pro tip, level up your thrill if that's what you're looking for. Certainly don't avoid Tron, but my score is reflective of just a lot of elements that I said.
Yeah.
All right. That is all of the thrills that Disney categorizes as thrills in Magic Kingdom. So we're going to jump parks now and we're going to hit Epcot. And I'm actually going to skip the one that's on all of our list. And we're going to hit that one last here. We're going to start with Mission Space. We're going to go backwards. Mission Space, we've talked about on the show. Go ahead, Katie. What is Mission Space?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So my kids love Mission Space and I do not. So my husband takes them on that one every time. It does have a 40-inch height requirement, which completely baffles me. I don't really understand why that one has a height requirement that is quite that high. But
we're really strapped in.
Well, yeah. All that said, Mission Space is the only attraction on Disney property that you can change the intensity. So you can either go with the green side or the orange side. And green doesn't have one ride element that orange does have. And orange is supposed to be a more intense experience. It is also the only ride on Disney property where cast members are ready to hand you a barf bag. So, not a lot of people love Mission Space. I don't know why my kids do, other than my husband thinks it's great. My husband's like a outer space kind of nerd. He loves that kind of thing. But I don't love Mission Space. Allie, I think you started at the top of the episode saying you don't usually get sick or anything on rides. And I'm the same way. I am not prone to motion sickness. I am not prone to claustrophobia. And the only time I did Mission Space, I rode the orange side, the more intense side. I immediately felt very claustrophobic because you are in a very contained seat. You can't see anybody on either side of you. And there's a screen right in front of your face. And then you have this sort of like spinning motion that is supposed to simulate as if you were launching on a rocket. And it does not do it for me. They tell you you have to stare at the screen to make sure that you don't get sick. And I tell you what, staring at the screen might have saved me from yakking, but it wasn't that much different from keeping my eyes closed. So I didn't actually get sick, but there's no other ride that I've ever ridden anywhere at any theme park that has had that effect on me. So I'm giving Mission Space a 23, and it's a generous 23 because my kids love it.
So this ride is ridiculous. It's you know how you say something over and over and then that's all that's in your mind? Like the amount of turn around, don't ride this ride signs that are you're greeting you around every corner when you're riding Mission Space Orange. Like, I don't get sick. And I am looking for the thrill. And so the first time I rode it, I of course went orange. I was like, yeah, definitely. I love the excitement. I love the thrill. Bring me all of it. Turn me upside down, you know, whatever. The screen was, the claustrophobia was out of control. The screen, you know, they say don't close your eyes. That's the worst thing you can do. I was so desperate in that moment. And I did close my eyes. And then I was all disoriented, partially my fault. Awful, awful experience. And I will not ride it again. I do not like this ride. I can't imagine the amount of Imagineering that had to go into this. Mm-hmm. Because it's a very realistic simulation. But you can probably catch it on a short wait because it's not for me and it's not for a lot of people. And I gave it a 15.
Well, you guys were both extremely generous because I gave it a 4. And that was because the playground at the end, my kids love.
that's a good point. Now,
the way you guys described it, and I thought it was because maybe I had like a little too much liquid courage before I wrote it. So I was thinking like, certainly this is the alcohol that is making me feel this way. But apparently it's not, because Katie described it so perfectly, where the claustrophobia sets in, the motion sickness, everything. It's awful. You couldn't pay me. Like when we have to do our worst day at Disney episode and you guys make us ride this, I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I'm scared. Can you imagine the amount of people that have thrown up in that simulator room?
Oh gosh, let's not talk about it.
Like, right when you think you're about to black out and your life is over, the doors finally pop open. But like, if they would have stayed closed for 2 seconds more, I would have been a goner.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That's it.
It's so funny you say that, because I was really tossing around what I was going to give it. And I just felt bad for how realistic it is. You know, that's where any amount of points came from. All right. So that's going to take us to Test Track. And Carla, you start with Test Track.
I love Test Track. It's getting ready to be refurbed and it is in high need of this. The theming there is not so great. I think Disneyland has a similar ride, which would be, what's it called?
The Radiator Springs Racers.
So Disneyland has Radiator Springs Racers, which I think is just way better theming. You have to be 40 inches to ride Test Track. They do have a single rider line, which is great. I love the part where you go outside and you are flying and my hands are up and of course I'm screaming. It doesn't really hit like on that nostalgia, but it's just, I feel like at Epcot for a really long time, you were really in need of a thrill. And this was before Guardians, before Guardians. So you were really like, that was the ride to ride at Epcot, right? I give it a 69. I think it's fun building the car ahead of time. And I just love the outside part where you reach speeds of, is it like 66? What is it?
Yeah, like around
there. Does that sound right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is inevitably always down. And if there is one drop of rain, it's mm-hmm. done. I've been in line with it and had to get out because it breaks down. It's just one of those, it can't really be relied upon. And I think that's probably why, in part, it's getting a refurb soon. What do you guys think?
I don't super love Test Track. Part of the reason I don't love Test Track is if you are riding single rider, it's a different queue than if you were getting like a lightning lane for it. So if you are willing to do single rider, you can almost walk onto the attraction every time. It's pretty great. However, if you're using a lightning lane for it, they still put you in this part of the queue where you have to go design your car. Then you're going to wait for a really long time, especially if the ride goes down, which happens often. And so I feel like I waste a lot of time in line at Test Track, and I don't feel like it's worth my time. The other thing about Test Track, it does desperately need a refurb, right? Like it needs something else happening there with the theming and everything. I don't love the seating three across either. I kind of hate that. But the other thing about Test Track that I don't love, it's herky jerky again. As someone who is tall, it doesn't matter where I'm sitting in that vehicle, my knees are going to get bashed on that every time, because the part of Test Track where you're testing your vehicle and how it can maneuver and how quickly it can stop and all this stuff, I'm going to bash my knees constantly. So I don't super love that. The other thing that I feel like is worth mentioning, I had a client once who asked me, she said, "We really want to take our teenage daughter to this Disney World trip, but she was recently in a really traumatic car accident. What rides should we avoid?" And I immediately was like, "Do not take your daughter on Test Track. Do not. Whatever you do, don't take her on Test Track." There is a scene in the ride that simulates as if you were about to be in a car accident, but then you just narrowly missed it. And so I can see, like, if you have PTSD or are very sensitive about that kind of thing, how that could be a triggering moment for you. And I don't feel like there's a trigger warning for that. And so there's not a lot I have to say that I love about Test Track. My kids do love to make their car all purple and sparkly and all that kind of thing. That's great, but I don't love Test Track. I'm going to give it a 55.
The best part, Carla hit it, is the outdoor part, and it's pretty short. I will say the most unique thing about Test Track is the element of fantasy, you know? I don't think we've explained well enough that you really do sit like at a computer and you get to make the wheels and the body and the style. You get to choose how fast it's going to go and how efficient it's going to be. And then the attraction itself is actually testing all of the things that you built in your car. And so you really feel this sense of, I did this. And then it's a competition and it scores you against the other cars that were made, you know, with the people you're riding with. And at the end, we actually made it like on one of the leaderboards for the day, which was so exciting. And just that whole element of fantasy brought into a thrill ride, which for any Smart Moms travel agents listening today, the hidden Mickey will be fantasy. And I will say my youngest daughter did not understand. We made this pink sparkly Jeep, giant wheels. And she was so excited. And we went and we got like in the queue to actually get in our car, and the regular Test Track car pulled up. And she was like, "That's not my car." She's like, "That's not my car." I'm like, "Get in." She's like, "No, that's not our car." And I was like, no. And it was really hard for her to understand. And she didn't want to get in. And then, you know, kind of ruined it for her.
Yeah.
She thought the pink Jeep was going to turn the corner. But, you know, for all of those things, it's great. It kind of feels like a car commercial.
Yeah.
You know, in some parts of it. I gave it a 62, middle of the road. And then that's going to bring us to our last thrill ride in Epcot, Guardians of the Galaxy, with a 42-inch height requirement. Carla, I think, was thinking I was giving my score in the 40s. Her face just now was like eyes bugging out of her head. 42-inch height requirement, pretty low, I feel like. You know, that's not super tall. And Carla, you start us off here because I know you're very passionate as well.
Everything about this ride is perfection. The pre-show, you know, I memorized it. I can say along with Terry Crews as he's saying it. It's fantastic. I just only recently in the last couple of years got into Guardians of the Galaxy. My daughter was, you know, you guys have seen the videos, months straight, just would stand outside and sing it at the top of her lungs and watch the movie. And we got, you know, it's just fun. I love everything about it. You get into the coaster and you're going up this hill and it's like the most iconic music playing and you're tingling and getting chills and you like know something unreal is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And it does. And it's a solid 100 for me. I don't think you can get better than this ride. There is no better ride at Disney, hands down. This is the ace. They knocked this out of the park. They knocked this out of the universe.
When I was ranking, I thought to myself, if anything in Disney World deserves a 100, you know, I can find flaws in most attractions, most food, most resorts, most pools, you know, most things you can find somewhere to take a point away, not Guardians of the Galaxy. I also gave it a 100. It is perfect. It's perfect in theming. It's perfect in pre-show, in execution and ride.
The length is perfect.
And I hate giving spoilers, but I feel like there are a few things I have to say. So if you haven't ridden it yet and you want to avoid spoilers, just cover your ears for a few seconds. There is a music element to this attraction and it changes every time. So there's also a layer of mystery. You don't know what song you're going to get. And there's a moment of silence and blackness. Then you find out what song you're going to get. And I don't want to give away what happens at the same second that you find out your song, but all of those elements swirled together. I'm just beaming and screaming and all of my kids can ride it. You know, they're all tall enough. My wife, literally, we came off the ride and said, that must be like, you feel lucky to be alive. And it must feel like be what you feel like when you die. And like, it's every good feeling, bad, like it's every feeling. And I have no words. It's perfect.
Part where you're like circling the earth. And don't you guys like reach your hand out to try to touch it every time? It's just like, it's insane.
So many times I've ridden it and there's not one time is it less exciting. You know, you're going up that hill that you were talking about, Carla, and I'm physically jumping, you know, like my feet are going and I'm like tapping the people next to me. I'm like talking to everybody in the queue. Have you ridden this before? Gosh, I'm so excited to experience it with people that haven't, because I feel lucky to be with somebody that gets to be a first time rider, because you only get that first experience once, you know. Katie, what'd you give it?
Oh gosh, this is so hard, y'all, because I don't personally believe in giving a perfect 10. Anything, but I have to agree with you that Guardians is as close to perfect as we're gonna get. So my score is a 99, but gosh, it's so good. I love everything about it. I would just say, like, I am on the hunt to get every song, and I have gotten Conga so many times that my husband and I have a joke that whenever we're on it together, we'll say whenever we're about to get in the car, any song but Conga is fine. And then there's no facts in this at all, but we just imagine that cast members hear me say any song but Conga is fine. And then they push a button to give me Conga.
Do you have a favorite song? My favorite song is Iran.
That's my least favorite.
And that's probably like the least popular, but I love it. I sing it at the top of my lungs. I freaking love it.
I think I've had all the songs at this point. Rule the World and Iran were definitely in my bottom. Conga is the one that my wife and I get most often. And so it has a special spot for me because it's hilarious. We definitely wrote it under the influence the first time and we're shimmying to Conga and just laughing. And it was so fun, you know. But September is the best.
September.
Absolutely. September is the best. Yeah. It's a cliche answer at this point. Like most people, I think, agree that September is the best, and I'm not trying to buck the system here and be different. Like September is so fun.
I do hope that in the future they add more songs, because the albums are fantastic from those movies.
And you know, something you said, your daughter London being super into Guardians makes it really fun for you. My son recently got into Guardians and that's great. And I can't wait for that for him, but I actually have never seen any of them. And this is where I get more angry with Tron. Right? Because I've never seen Guardians and it does not matter. I'm so immersed in the queue. There's videos of the Guardians, you know, throughout the whole thing. And then you've got so much story and so much context going into the ride itself that it's fine that I haven't seen Guardians yet. I still know my objective. I still know what I'm doing. I still understand the story. It's just perfect.
And also, can you just like rip the Band-Aid off already and watch it? Because they're great.
They are.
I'm not protesting them. I just, you know, I will watch them. Okay. So Guardians is perfect, regardless of what Katie says, because I don't know where she's going to find the extra point.
I thought she was really going to poo-poo it.
Oh, come on. I love Guardians.
Okay. That's going to get us through Magic Kingdom and Epcot. I'm excited to continue this conversation. I'm beaming and so happy talking about these rides. I mean, Disney, people that say Disney doesn't have thrills, they're just so wrong. These are all such incredible attractions. Mm-hmm. And we will continue ranking them after this quick break.
Are you a dedicated fan of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast and feel the need to take notes while listening to each and every episode? Our Diamond Mind Patreon subscription is a perfect fit for you. every month, our Diamond Mind subscribers receive a new Disney travel guide that simplifies and organizes the podcast content. Join our community at patreon.com and search for Smart Moms Plan Disney Podcast. Joining our Patreon supports our woman-owned small businesses and allows you more simplicity and support in planning your next Disney vacation. Join us at patreon.com and we'll see you there.
All right, it's time to pick right back up. We're going to hit Hollywood Studios and Animal Kingdom to round out ranking our thrill rides and get the order. I think it's pretty obvious what number one is going to be, but make sure you stay until the end to make sure that nothing does top Guardians of the Galaxy and really find out, you know, what the worst attractions are as well. Jumping into Hollywood Studios, we have Galaxy's Edge, and there are two thrill rides back there in Galaxy's Edge. We're going to start with Smuggler's Run, which is the Millennium Falcon ride. The Millennium Falcon itself in Galaxy's Edge is jaw-dropping and incredible. Like, what a feat to have made that. And it's so incredible. It really, really is. Especially if you love Star Wars, you turn that corner and you see the Falcon. It's like dreams, you know, that's Disney at its finest. And the attraction itself is immersive. You get jobs, pilot.
Pilot and engineer.
Yeah. And so there are two of each. You're given your job before you get into the simulation room. And I think your job really dictates the experience you're going to have, which is tough. Because if you wait a really long time and then you're the engineer, that's a lot less fun than being the pilot.
I disagree. I love being the engineer all day long.
Why?
Because it's on me to get the stuff that's worth the money. I have to come in clutch there.
I feel like engineer, you're just like pushing a glowing button and you don't really feel like you have an objective. And
nah, that's pilot, not true at all.
No pilot way. Is so funny. Like my little ones will be the pilot and we're just like crashing into walls mm-hmm. and crashing everywhere. It's hilarious.
I agree. It is fun to be the pilot if you're with your family, but if you're with strangers and heaven forbid there be like super intense Star Wars junkies behind you and you're crashing and can't do a freaking thing, it's embarrassing and it's stressful and it's high anxiety for me. But then again, like every other seat in there is lame. I don't want to be a gunner and I don't want to be an engineer.
I completely disagree. My kids love spamming the buttons for the gunner and I like being the engineer. The pilot is fun too, but I feel like pilot can sometimes feel like it's high pressure for what you guys were saying, right? Like the quality or the intensity of the ride depends on how good a pilot you have, right? And so this is a little bit funny. I always end up having my kids being like the pilots because they want to be the pilots. And so we just know the entire time we're going to be wrecking into everything. And for me, that's part of the fun because I'm laughing along with it, right? But I didn't realize until more recently whenever I think we have one adult in the pilot seat that the ride is actually different if you're not smashing into everything.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a little, if you get motion sick, this is going to get you, especially if you have a 5-year-old pilot. Because the height requirement on Smuggler's Run is 38 inches. So you could legitimately have like a 3-year-old pilot, honestly, you know? I mean, you can be really crashing. My kids were little when they rode this. It's fine. It's kind of just another simulation. There are a lot of factors that go into whether or not it's going to be a good experience. And so I give it a 59.
I actually think the queue is cooler than the ride. I think the queue is super cool. It's like a big mechanic shop in there and there's like a whole spaceship. I always call them spaceships. I don't think they're called that. I don't know what they're called.
They're definitely not.
But they're in there and it's really cool. And there's one point where you get to walk past these windows and you're overlooking the Millennium Falcon, which is super neat. You have this doorway that is circular as you're going into the ship, which is very immersive. I give it a 83.
That's high. I'm very surprised by that.
I like it.
See, I would never wait for this ride. I don't think I would wait in that queue.
You're completely crazy. This is a fantastic ride. even though my experience is more often than not, like, you know, with little kids, that's like a core memory for me is wrecking the Millennium Falcon with my 2-year-old. Okay. Like, I love that.
but like, is that a top Disney thrill or is that a mom thrill?
Are you kidding me? It's fully immersive. It's everything that you want in a Disney ride. It's fantastic. It has the change element. Your ride changes depending on, you know, the quality of how well you do your job. I feel like there's a lot of things going for Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run. Also, if you have six people in your party, so every seat is filled, you can unlock Wookiee mode, where Chewie will you know, be part of your ride, which is really cool too. It has like a hidden Easter egg element. So I am going to give it.
Have you ever successfully done that, by the way?
Oh, I have. Yeah.
We tried. We failed.
Oh, well, you have to hit all of the buttons before the ride starts.
I know. We tried and we failed. Oh, okay.
Someone just didn't hit a button. That's really sad. I'm sorry. I'm going to give Smuggler's Run an 89 because we super loved it.
Wow. We're a friendship divided here.
Wait, what'd you say it was?
I gave it a 59, but you all ride it and I will go like to Oga's and I'll meet you after. That's fine. I'm not worried. Okay, let's go ahead and close out Galaxy's Edge then while we're in Hollywood Studios. And the other attraction there is Rise of the Resistance. Now, part of me has always felt like Smuggler's Run lacks a little bit because all of the energy went into Rise, which is definitely the longest attraction in all of Disney World because it just starts way early. Like, you don't even realize you're on the attraction and you're part of the attraction. It's a walking attraction. It's a standing attraction. It's an immersive acting attraction. It's a sitting attraction. It's a drop attraction. It's a virtual attraction. It's everything. It's surprising. It's unbelievable. The pre-show is the ride. It's such a feat. What an amazing thing Disney did with Rise of the Resistance. Do not tell me I'm wrong.
Why are you going to poo-poo it, Katie? It's a 98. It is up there. It's not quite as good as Guardians for me, but it is definitely high on the list. It is more than it's a ride. It's an experience. And you don't have any understanding of what I'm referring to until you ride it.
Yep.
And you experience it. You, like Allie said, you don't even know that you're in the ride. You still think that you're in the line and things are happening and you're just, is that real? Or what is that? Like, you're just, your mind is so blown the whole time.
So many jaw-dropping moments around every corner. And the height requirement is 40 inches. And there's a lot going on in this attraction. I can totally see 40. My kids, they just love it. I didn't give my score. I'm right there with you, Carla. I gave it a 97. And that's because there are some thrill rides that are just like my favorite things to do. And I just had to put them in order, you know, and which one do I like? So it was my 97, but not a lot of negative things to say. Unbelievable.
The part where you're in the cars and Katie, do you know what those things with the long legs are called?
Are you talking about the AT-ATs? The big giant ones?
Yeah. And you feel so small at that moment. And you're like, I'm literally like, are those real? Is this a screen? Like, what is going on? And it's, wow, it's really cool.
And Kylo Ren using the Force to pull you toward him. I mean, give me that all day long. It's great.
You're so funny. Carla, what's your score?
I already gave it. It's a 98.
Oh, sorry. I missed that. Okay. All right. So I love Star Wars. I'm a pretty diehard Star Wars fan, but I like the original trilogy. I agree with you that Rise of the Resistance is a fantastic and hugely immersive ride. And part of like the fact that, you know, you're going to get on this shuttle and then you're going to actually get, you know, in the jail and everything. My kids always call it the ride where they get to go in jail. That's how they refer to it. But it is great. I wish that the height requirement weren't 40 because I feel like my 2-year-old could happily ride that and be safe. But I mean, I'm not an Imagineer, so that's fine. The thing that makes it a little bit detracted for me is your experience will be determined by the group of people you are in line with. And I don't necessarily mean your group of your family of five or your group of a dozen friends. I mean like a group of 30 people who happen to be in line around you. Because I have had experiences before where I'm there with a whole group of people that are talking through the entire pre-show. And we're talking about how that is an important element of the ride, right? And I was so miffed about it, you guys. I was such a Karen. I was talking to like the bad guys and I was telling them, you know, I think you're going to get a lot of information out of this crew because they like to talk so much. I do love the attraction. I'm going to give it a 91 though, because I don't love that it can be affected by it.
You're nuts. That is not fair.
It's totally fair.
Because of other people, you can't down that ride because of other people.
Oh, come on. If we're going to give positive points to Big Thunder for closing your eyes, we're going to give negative points to Rise of the Resistance for other people talking.
Oh my gosh.
I love getting in on the acting. You know what I mean? Like acting scared and acting like we're in a hurry. You know, that's always really fun.
Yeah.
It's so great. We mentioned it. The cast members are so in costume and cosplay in here that you do feel like you are in the wrong and they're like going to get you.
I will say that's probably where my 3 points would go a little more is even if the cast, I think the cast members could even go more. You know what I mean? Like just cross out of that Disney and just be like flat out mean, you know, even scarier. They're really fun. Okay. Rock and Roller Coaster. This was one of Disney's biggest coasters until the two most recent ones. This was the biggest one. And now I think it's been passed, right? I mean, would you guys agree? Although this is the only Disney coaster that goes upside down. This is a 48-inch height requirement. It was the only ride that had that 48-inch height requirement until Tron was put in. And so now they're the only two. So it is among the biggest. It's like a shoulder harness, big old coaster, you know, classic. Aerosmith theming. Pre-show is so iconic at this point. If you've been to Disney World, if you've ridden this ride, Aerosmith looks so young. The story is so fun. You know, the reason that you're in this super stretch limo and the reason that you're going so fast. And it's a coaster that's indoors. It has the dark element, but it has all of this fun going into it. I absolutely want to be the person that asks for the backstage passes when I'm in the in the pre-show room. I just love it so much. I think it's fun. It also has a little immersive element where the Bluetooth from your Magic Band might have your name like on a poster or something similar to things like at Small World, like we talked about on a previous episode, which is really cool. And I think it's great. Really fun ride. It's not in my top four, but it's definitely close. And I gave it a 95.
I'll be honest with you. Coming into this conversation, I don't know how to score Rock and Roller Coaster myself because it is a great ride. And I said, I'm a thrill junkie. If it's going upside down, I want to go. But the thing that gives it negative points for me is it's, again, a herky-jerky ride. And not in the sense of we're having quick stops or turns. Like, the coaster rail itself is smooth. But you have to have your head positioned just so not to be, like, bashed around a lot. So there's a lot of times that I get off that ride with a headache, which is why I avoid it. if I'm going with you all on like a trip with, you know, friends, then I will suffer through and I will do it. But I don't usually love to do it. I think it needs a lot of good points, though, for it being a thrill factor. So I'm going to give it a 73.
That's too low.
I'm giving it an 89. I think it's the first coaster I rode that has that music element. I think there's 3 songs that you have an option of getting. I don't know, but I love them all. I'm not even that big of an Aerosmith fan. I love the launch here. I love sitting in your stretch limousine and you're at the place where the clock is counting down and you're literally like deep breathing because I know what's about to happen. Once it goes, like I have to close my eyes at that point. And then once I get into it and it's dark and the neon lights and you're going under signs, it's so cool. Yeah, it's an 89 for me. It's pretty high up there.
It's so fun. My face hurts from smiling talking about these rides, you guys. I love them so much. That is such a fun moment. And the music is in your ears. Like it's coming out of your headrest.
Yeah.
So it's right there and loud and oh God, it's rocking. It's great. Okay. Katie, I'm going to threaten you before this. You start us with Tower of Terror, but okay. You tread lightly.
Oh man, I'm getting all the flack today. All right. Let's see. So Tower of Terror has a 40-inch height requirement, which I feel is great because a lot of people's perception is they think that it's going to be a higher height requirement because it is such a great thrill factor, but my 3-year-old was able to ride it. So it's fantastic. I love that it's something that really the whole family can do, even though you might not think it could be. The theming is fantastic. The Twilight Zone.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's very throwback kind of thing. It has the spooky element that's really cool. And she's 5 now. But whenever she could first ride it, Emma, like, she's my thrill junkie rider, and she just thought that was great. And so I remember being in the parks with Carla and London being like, we have to go on Tower of Terror, and Bella, my shy rider, being like, I don't think I can do it, and London, like, psyching her up to go do it with her. It was fantastic. It's great. It has that element of surprise where you don't know exactly the drop pattern every time. There's nothing bad to say about Tower of Terror. I think it's completely fantastic. I am going to give it a 94.
Okay, Carla.
I'm right there with you, Katie. I love the airtime you get. I was wearing a fanny pack around my chest because I guess I've embraced that now. And last time it was like above me. It was so fun. Or if you have things that are on the floor, they like come up as you're going up and down. I love that part of it. I love the queue. I love being like you're wrapping around the sidewalk and your whole view is this iconic hotel. And I think it's amazing. I love when you walk into it and you're in the lobby and I want to spend the night there. And I want to like get on the other side of the velvet ropes and like look at all of these things and feel these cobwebs and just, I kind of want to dust a little bit. I love it. I'm giving it a 95.
Tower of Terror is my favorite ride. I say that and then I'm like, of course, Guardians is my favorite ride, right? But Tower of Terror just holds everything to me. It is everything to me. I'm obsessed with this attraction. Unbelievable. How many times have we been in the lobby and I'm still every time, holy, like, oh my God, this is so good. The pre-show, I love that movie so much. I absolutely know every word. His voice, and it's so good. And then you're in the basement. It's thrilling. It's immersive. Yes, we ride with our feet off the ground and our bottoms leave the seats. It's so good. I'm obsessed with this ride. All of my kids love it. It's a 99 for me. Does not get, I mean, I guess it only gets a little better with Guardians, but Tower of Terror is an easy 99. It's perfect. Perfect ride. And the structure itself at the end of Sunset Boulevard, what an icon. You feel yourself leave the track and enter the elevator shaft. You know, you feel that moment happen and it's jittery. It's, you know, really jittery. And all of a sudden I describe it as like a zipper. You know what I mean? All of a sudden everything disappears around you and it's like, and you see like this strip of light. And that's when the elevator doors open and you can see, I mean, if you really look out, you can see far in Disney World. Then it's just, you're gone.
Yep.
And I've definitely told this story on the pod before, but you know, part of why it's so special to me, Katie, you said the height requirement's low. And I've already mentioned on this episode for years, you know, there were just rides every year I would go to Disney. I couldn't ride. It was the family pattern. Allie doesn't get to ride, you know, and there was this big new attraction that everybody was talking about and everybody couldn't wait to ride it. And I'm always the one that, you know, is left out. And so my dad and my brother go up to ride it. And it's part of what makes it. I just remember my brother running after me. I think you're tall. You know, it turned out I ran up there so fast with him. I was so happy and I got to ride it. And it's just so special. It's so good.
Love it.
It was the last ride for London to conquer. Like it took her years. That's why when we went with you, Katie, and the girls, that like she knew that Bella was going to love it. And that's why she was like hyping her up so hard. Aww. Because there were so many times she missed out on it.
Yeah. We run the risk of traumatizing because I wanted all my kids to give it a try, you know, and it could have really backfired, but they all loved it. So thank God. It was good. Look at how many thrill rides Hollywood Studio has, because we still have one more to talk about. And that's going to be a kid thrill. That's going to be Slinky Dog Dash in Toy Story Land. And Carla, I think you're set to start us off here.
All right. So to ride Slinky, you have to be 38 inches tall. It is the perfect coaster as your first coaster for your little one. It is that ride that I get off of and like my smile couldn't be bigger. And if you're not the happiest person like riding this, I don't know what to say about you. But it's so funny that every time you ride it, you're seeing different elements. Like we were just discussing, there's a whole like picket fence element. You feel like you're a toy. And I just think it's a great ride. I gave it a 91. I think it definitely deserves to be in the 90s. The queue is super long and the wait is super long. So you really have to strategize to how you're going to ride it. But I do think if you can make it work, that it is 100% worth it.
I agree. So I love the immersive theming of pretty much everything in Toy Story Land. Whenever I'm thinking back of my childhood as a 90s kid, is Toy Story my go-to favorite Disney movie? No, it's usually Beauty and the Beast. But for a movie that encapsulates my childhood, it's probably Toy Story, right? And so I love the whole Toy Story Land area, but especially Slinky Dog Dash, because there's always new things to discover in that queue. There's new games, there's new characters that you can point out. Like, there's so many hidden elements and Easter eggs in the queue that I love. And the coaster itself is fantastic. We actually have a toy that I got my kiddos for Christmas that it's like, it has the little dash, the little launch tubes with the spinny fire things, and you hit the button and Slinky Dog goes shooting out of it. And so one Christmas, I just decided for my kids, we were getting all of these toys to recreate Disney World at our house. So we got that one year. But we love Slinky Dog Dash, and it's another one of those ones that my two-year-old is big enough to ride with us. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I'm going to say it's a 95.
Enter Allie that's getting ready to poo-poo Toy Story Land.
No, I'm not ranking Toy Story Land right now. I'm ranking Slinky Dog Dash. And I'm ranking it, although we should rank the lands. That would be fun. I am ranking it against Seven Dwarfs Mine Train more so than everything else, right? Because those are the two kid first coaster 38-inch to ride attractions, you know? And it's hard for me to compare Slinky Dog to Big Thunder Mountain or something like that, although I did score it higher than Big Thunder Mountain. But it's just in a different category to me. And it is, I do like it more than Mine Train. There's just something about it and how colorful it is and how cute the, you know, when they're talking to you while you're on the Slinky Dog. Don't we all have videos, you know, videoing our kids and their faces while they're riding this at, you know, age four? Yeah. It's so great. And the first time I ever rode Slinky Dog, my oldest was dressed as Slinky Dog, and it was just so cute.
Can I just take a moment to say that I have to laugh that I'm tall and my kids are tall and Allie's petite and her kids are petite. And so she's talking about her four-year-old riding it and I'm talking about my two-year-old riding it.
Actually, my oldest daughter is really tall and she was three, but still, yes, that's very funny. And like, my kids are five and they're finally tall enough for guardians. So anyway, I gave Slinky an 87. What a great coaster.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What a great ride for a little kid to enjoy and experience a thrill at a young age. It's so great. And that's going to close Hollywood Studios and bring us straight into Animal Kingdom. Really a misunderstood park, I think. It has a lot of thrills, you know, a couple that we're going to talk about. And then obviously a lot of really great shows and things to see outside of that. But the thrills here are great. And the first one we're going to talk about is one of the most iconic rides at Disney World, Flight of Passage. You can find it over in the world of, in Pandora, the world of Avatar. This is, you become this attraction. Okay. This takes 3D screen rides and blows everything you ever considered out of the water. It is all the adventure. You don't ever leave that room and that bike, but buddy, you feel like you do. Mm-hmm. And your stomach drops. And it is unbelievable every single time. It is long. You know, you're going to wait a really long time if you don't have a lightning lane, and it is going to be worth the wait because this attraction is, I think, upwards of 5 minutes or just below. That's a really long ride. It if you get motion sick, avoid it, but I don't, and I love it. And this is my 98.
Flight of Passage is fantastic. Allie, you and I were at the Smart Moms Conference this past September, and Disney hosted our agency so that we could do this really exclusive after hours thing where we got to spam riding Flight of Passage and Navi River Journey
as many times as we wanted at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I feel like I gained a whole new appreciation for that ride that night, and I always loved it. It is so immersive. It is so fantastic. It's another one of those rides that whenever, like, my shy rider Bella, she'll ride it. She'll tell me that she's scared before she's riding it, even though she's ridden it before. And she has just such a sense of accomplishment after she's ridden it too. And that is one of those rides where, Allie, you were saying your wife will, you know, say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to be alive. I feel like Flight of Passage 1000% gives you that feeling too. This feeling of, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
What other thrill ride just like actually makes you cry? Yeah. Literally.
It is truly amazing. So I am also going to give it a 98.
I am right there with you guys. I think it's such a beautiful ride. They did an amazing job. This is a ride where my daughter London thought that in the pre-show she was actually going to turn into an avatar. And it freaked her out and made her not want to ride.
You kind of feel like you do.
Yeah, because they put like a hologram on you and you're going through this process. And we had just waited. I'm not joking you. This is the longest. We waited 3 hours and she would not ride it this particular time because she thought she was going to turn into an avatar.
She didn't ride?
She didn't ride. No, the cat. And I was like, Lennon, I looked at her. I was like, I'm not riding this. Like, I'm riding this. Cast member took her, totally fine. She missed out, whatever. She'll never do that again, obviously, but it's a stunning ride. It's a 99. If Guardians wasn't there, it would be 100. You know what I mean? Like, it's
really amazing.
Tears.
Yeah.
It is so good. I always make a point to be that person. I'm always the adult in the pre-show that is dancing like a total moron just because I think it's hilarious. I'll wiggle whatever way I feel like wiggling sometimes.
Think of all the people that are scoring it less because you're making a mockery in the line.
They say you have to move around to decontaminate. You know, I
move a lot too. The worst part of the passage is that little camera and that image of yourself that you see before you turn into the beautiful avatar. Yeah. It's like a really bad angle.
Yeah, like, thanks for that, Disney.
Yeah, like, whoa. All right, Flight of Passage is a must. Like, you got to do it. It's perfect. Okay, so yeah, you have to do it. It's a 44-inch height requirement, which is, I think, kind of tall for this ride. And I think it just has to do with the way that you're buckled into that, like, kind of bike thing, you know, just to secure the body in. Because it's not for any other reason, because it's a simulation ride. So it just has to do with that. But 44 inches is pretty tall for that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. That's going to bring us then to Dinosaur.
All right. So Dinosaur has a 40-inch height requirement. And I'm noticing a pattern since we're doing this episode that all the ones that are like 40 inches are the ones that I am very antsy for my youngest to be able to get on, because she's just below 40 inches. I'm dying for her to be able to get on Dinosaur 2. This is another one that we have to rider switch still. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to rider switch on this one. Dinosaur is, I mean, I feel like you either love it or hate it. Like, it is a herky jerky ride, but it's a really fun one. I'm happy to go to the chiropractor the next day to be able to experience it, because I do have so much fun with my kids on this one. My kiddos will run around our living room, jump up and down off the couch, and be like, let's get that dino. So we really love Dinosaur. I'm not going to score it super duper high just because it is kind of, you either love it or hate it, but my family does sit in the realm of we love it. So I'm going to give it a 72.
That was nice of you.
What do you give it, Carla?
A 4. It is my... Absolutely not. It is my hard no. The dinosaurs, again, you talk about all the warnings you get before getting on. You don't like darkness. You don't like scary things. You don't like jerking. Like, abort mission, like, don't go, turn back. Don't save the dino. Go to the little dinosaur bar outside. Do anything but ride this. It scares the crap out of me, and my kids and family love riding it with me because I am such a baby, and my head is somehow, like, I somehow become flexible on that ride and my head is in between my legs. I can't do it. It's a 4. You're lucky I didn't give it a negative.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible, Carla.
This ride is just okay. I don't think it's thrilling at all. I do think it's fun. Like, we always laugh when we're on it. So, like, there is something about it that's fun. The last time my wife and I rode it, we had visited the Dino Bar a few times prior. So we were extra giggly and it had some extra fun going on with it. But I didn't give it a 4, but I gave it a 44.
Gosh.
Expedition Everest. Carla, go.
All right. Height on this one is 44 inches. This is an iconic ride. It should be included in the mountains of Disney. When you're across the lake and you see it, when you're walking up to it, like, it is just, you have transported somewhere super cool. The ride itself has some really amazing and exciting elements and surprises. I love it. I wish I could ride it over and over again, but I did that once and I rode it like two or three times in a row. I can't remember because I was so nauseous afterwards, but I love the drop on it. It's probably I think it is probably the best drop at Disney. I'm going to say it's a 95. It's a great coaster. I love the Yeti. I love the surprise elements. I love the darkness. It's great.
It's so fun. This is a massive roller coaster. It's massive. It's really big. When I was riding next to my daughter, I'm like, I can't believe you're on this with me. This is a Disney thrill. They nailed it with this one. It's great. If you want a big coaster, ride Expedition Everest. Did you say the height requirement?
44.
Yeah, 44 is pretty small, I feel like, for how big this ride is. I'm surprised by that. I gave it a 96.
I feel like that's good. Everyone seems to be loving Expedition Everest. This one was my favorite Disney coaster before Guardians came out. So I would tell you, in a time prior to Guardians, this was the best coaster on Disney property. I'm going to give it a 94 because I love it. And my kids are very fearful of it, but we have a great time on it nonetheless. If you go like in the like low crowd times, like not peak season, this ride also has single rider. So you can pretty much walk on it. And I think that my husband and I took turns for half an hour or 45 minutes just going on it again and again and again and again. It was freaking great. I loved it.
All right. That's going to bring us to our very final thrill ride under Disney's definition of Disney thrills at Animal Kingdom, Cali River Rapids. It's a water ride. It's like a white water canyon type attraction. You're in a big shared family unit. Lots of people can ride together. And you are going to get wet.
Maybe you are.
You're going to get wet.
If you ride it.
I mean, you're going to get a little bit wet, but you could get really wet.
You could get really wet or a little wet. I'm not going to get wet at all because I'm probably not going to ride it. It is a 38-inch height requirement. Getting doused with water and then walking around soaking wet is not my idea of thrilling. It's just not. That's the opposite for me. And it has all of that going against it. I'm sorry, guys. I gave Cali River Rapids a 35. It's fun if it's your thing. Like, good job, Disney. I'm glad you have a water ride. It's not my thing, and so I can't score it high.
I actually love these kind of rides. Our local park, Busch Gardens, has a very similar ride to this, but it is longer. And that is my issue with Cali River Rapids, is that it's not long enough, and I wish it was longer. One of the parts I love the most is the the camaraderie you have with the people in the raft with you. Like, you're all just kind of hoping the boat turns or like splashes them instead of you, and then eventually like a big wave comes over the side, you know, hopefully where you're not sitting, and you're all laughing and giggling and. It's fun. To me, it's just too short. I give it a 72.
Okay. I think you all know that I grew up around Pittsburgh. And so our equivalent ride to this at Kennywood was Raging River Rapids. I loved that ride growing up. It was a little bit more thrilling than the Disney version. But all that said, I think I still like the Disney version better, even though there's not a massive like waterfall moment where you get soaked. I wish that Cali River Rapids had the totally soaking waterfall. I wish that that happened, but it doesn't. I love water rides. I am the antithesis of Allie today.
Yeah. Every day.
So I think that's fantastic. But what I like about Cali River Rapids is like, if you have a smaller kiddo, like a two-year-old like mine, she would not be able to ride that equivalent at our family amusement park back home, but she can ride it at Disney, and they have like an extra safety bar that comes down for shorter riders and everything, so it makes it something the whole family can enjoy. My kids also love spamming that button at the end of the ride where you get to spray people that are on the ride out of the elephant trunks at the end. Like, it's the cutest thing ever. I love it. And Cali River Rapids might be one of the very important core memories from our first trip that made me want to keep going back. Like, honestly, truly, it was integral for me. So I'm going to give it a 84.
Wow.
There you have it.
All right. That's going to do it. That's all of our rankings. We are pretty sure what, you know, how some of these are going to fall, but I'm excited to hear the whole order. And we're going to take a quick break while we calculate it, learn about it in real time, and stay tuned so you can find out with us.
Hey, wait, wait, wait. I know you're ready to get back to the podcast, but I've got something very simple for you to do. Join my Facebook group, Disney Planning Made Simple. I'm Stacy, one of your podcast hosts, and I have a sweet, friendly Facebook group made for those of us who thrive in the simple pleasures of life, things like family, food, and Disney. Join at facebook.com/groups/DisneyMadeSimple or follow with the link in the show notes. We'll be so happy to see you there.
Hey there, friends. I'm Katie Boone, one of your podcast co-hosts. I'd love to invite you to join my Facebook Disney planning community called Planning Disney with Babies, Toddlers, and Preschoolers. In my group, I love discussing all the aspects of planning your magical vacation with little ones. Find my community at facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. Again, that's facebook.com/groups/PlanDisneyWithLittleOnes. When you join, don't forget to tell me you heard about my group on the podcast. See you there.
All right. We are back and Katie has done our math and she has the order of all of the thrill rides as categorized by Disney World, ranked in order, lowest, worst one to greatest, highest, best one. She did let us know that we had a tie, which we are going to do differently than last time. We're going to break this in real time, find out what it is and where it falls as we're going. But Katie, start us off with backwards, number 16.
Okay, so number 16 is Mission Space, which got a score of 14. I don't think anybody is shocked by that at all because so many people dislike it, right?
Terrible. All right, 15.
15 is Dinosaur, which I enjoy, but you guys did not enjoy as well.
So far, this list is perfect. 14.
Okay, number 14 is Test Track, which got a 62. I feel like some people are going to be surprised by that one.
I'm surprised by that one.
I'm surprised by that one.
Wow.
Okay, are you ready for this? The next one is Cali River Rapids. Cali River beat out Test Track.
That's y'all's fault. That is 100% fault.
I am great with this. I'm great with all of it. Then
say
this is the upset. Are you ready for the next one after Cali River? This one is Tron Light Cycle Run, which I'm sure is probably disappointing to Imagineering because they put a lot of time and effort into the newest attraction at Disney and it scored that low on our list.
Yeah, I'm not even mad about it. It's not even top 10 for me.
Yeah. Then we have our tie. So do you want me to tell you which two attractions the tie comes between?
Yeah, give us the attractions.
Okay, so it's either Space Mountain or Millennium Falcon. We gave them both a 77.
Okay. You guys, come on. Space has to be
two against one.
Space has to be higher. It's way more iconic. It's way more thrilling. It is fast. It is dark. It changes themes for holidays. It's iconic. It's a mountain. It's
right.
A
Katie, she's right.
I'm sitting here shaking my head the whole time. You guys can't see me. Listen, I don't get off of Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run and feel like my uterus just dropped out and I have to like...
Good. Then that means that, then you know what? You just agreed.
You can move on with your life.
You just agreed that it's more thrilling to ride Space Mountain. So next is Cali River.
No.
Yeah.
So we're saying that Space Mountain is beating the tie for Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
It's better. It's more thrilling.
I think on nostalgia and everything, and just, you don't need your uterus anymore, I don't think. I don't know what the uterus was used for, but I'm pretty sure you're good at this point. So drop it and leave it. And
it puts Space Mountain in the top 10, and it deserves to be there. Come on.
I mean, I will fight you all day long that Millennium Falcon is a better ride, but I will digress for now.
All right, then lay number 9 out.
All right, so we had Mission Space, Dinosaur, Test Track, Cali River Rapids, Tron Light Cycle Run, Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, then Space Mountain cracked the top 10. Now number 9 is Big Thunder Mountain.
I'm happy that that's before Space.
Fine.
Yep, that one got an 80. Then we have Rock and Roller Coaster with 85. I feel like that's fine. I love that one. Then we have Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with 86. And Slinky Dog Dash beat out Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with 91.
Good.
I agree.
Yep. Now we're breaking the top 5, right? This is number 5?
Yep, this is number 5. So number 5 was Expedition Everest.
Absolutely a top five
throw. Top five for sure.
Completely agree. Number four was Rise of the Resistance.
That was my number four. Love it.
Okay. That's interesting to me. I feel like a lot of people are going to feel like Rise has to be like one or two, honestly.
No, my top three are actually, these are my top five.
All right. Number three was Tower of Terror.
You did that, Katie.
I did that. We all scored that.
We were all up there with Tower of Terror.
Yeah, 99, 94, 95. Yeah, it got a 96 overall. I feel like that's very fair.
I know.
And then Flight of Passage was number two with a 98. I feel like that's worth it. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, of course, coming out on top with a 99.
Perfect. I think we nailed it. What a great list. What a great top 10. What a great top five. All of these, if you're a thrill seeker, you're going to find thrills at Disney World, despite what you may have thought before you listen to this episode. It is so great. It is so fun. Take the time, ride these rides, get the lightning lanes, stand in the lines, and let us know if something was more thrilling than we let on or less thrilling than we let on. We want to hear about it. And I am about to take a trip as we're sitting here recording this, and I cannot wait to see which height requirements my youngest kiddos break so that they can join us and ride with us. That was really fun. Thanks for sticking with us today. I think it was perfect. We want to make sure that you don't miss any content. So if you haven't already, like and subscribe. Make sure that you leave us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. Recently, a listener, A. Diaz 728, said she just started listening to the podcast and it makes me so happy. Totally enjoying all the talk about Disney, including the tips, tricks, and all that comes with it. This podcast brings me to my happy place when I can't be at my happy place. I love that. That is exactly what we want for our listeners, is to feel like you're there when you're not, have a dose of happy in your week, and it's never too late to start listening regularly. So we appreciate you and everybody that's tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, but maybe you're traveling with little ones, maybe they're not thrill seekers, try checking out our episode, Top Rides at Magic Kingdom Without Height Requirements, where we ranked some less thrilling, more gentle attractions for the little ones. And if you want more thrills, just like we offered today, check out The Right Way to Do Hollywood Studios, because as we talked about today, that park is full of action. We will see you in Patreon. We will see you in our social media communities. We will be connecting and talking to you between episode drops. And until next time, we'll see you real soon.